This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Chris Vandercook is off today. Today's program is a discussion about Waikiki and issues around safety and parking, top of mind for many residents and visitors. Joining us today are Lou Erdershik, Vice Chair of the Waikiki Neighborhood Board. He's joining us by phone. Honolulu Deputy Police Chief John McCarthy, Rick Egged of the Waikiki Improvement Association, and welcome to you all. At the beginning of the year, we were focusing a lot on safety and crime issues in Waikiki. And Chief, maybe if you could start out, what has changed since then?
We've looked at the situation, and it's not a static. It's a very dynamic. It changes by time of the year, by time of the day, by events that come and go. And we've looked at our manpower. We've refocused a lot of our people, the times they work, who's working when. We're trying to get a bigger presence with foot patrol officers there. Luckily, right now, we have that big presence with the foot patrol officers. That's going to change. It's going to flux until we get into a more steady hiring pattern and start replacing the officers that we've lost over all these past years and have open positions for.
That's right. We've been reading about how you folks need officers.
We need a lot.
Okay. And I know one of the issues that came up recently is I think the walls in Waikiki becoming a magnet for crime. And Rick, maybe you can talk about that, because you've got a situation where it's really not good for our visitors and for business. It's not good for business.
Well, Catherine, if I could just for a minute add on to what the chief has been talking about. And back in February, we had a public safety conference, which we partnered with HPD. The chairs were HLTA, Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association President Mufi Hanneman, and our council member of the district, Trevor Ozawa. And we went through a whole gamut of issues. The ones that the deputy chief just mentioned were actually at the forefront. We talked about those, the manpower issues and the timing, resource allocation. But the issue that you just mentioned was also brought up. And I think we're making progress on that front. The city is about to enter into a new sidewalk renovation, which is the phase two of the sidewalk renovation. And we actually had, when we planned that phase two, these issues were part of the, we already knew about these problems at that time. So the new sidewalks post-renovation in the areas affected by this phase two, we'll have no walls. We'll have more landscaping, but the landscaping will be lower. There'll be a curbing around the landscaping, but no walls for sitting and congregating and the like.
And I made a point this morning of driving through Waikiki just to kind of get the lay of the land. And there are walls on Kuhio as well as other parts of Kalakaua that I'm sure will probably have to be dealt with, because we don't want to take down all the walls, but you're going to have to figure something out so that the crime element just doesn't move around.
Correct. The issue is, I think that the Kalakaua is, of course, the major problem area, because that's where most of the people are. And I think that we're now looking at several properties that are outside this renovation that I just mentioned that will be dealing with these walls on a property-by-property basis.
Right, because those are private property, I would think, for some
of them.
Well,
the walls themselves are not on private property. They're much easier to deal with if they are. They're on the public space. In order for the private property owner to make a modification to those, then they still need a permit and permission from the city.
Okay. And then, Lou, you're on the phone there. You want to weigh in on just from the resident's perspective?
Well, I appreciate what the officer and what Rick are saying. I think that it's, obviously this has been a big concern for people who live in Waikiki. If it's not safe to walk in the street, then that kind of impacts your entire quality of life. And so I'm glad that the issue has been elevated and that they do seem to be making some progress. I mean, obviously the concerns still remain. We have, on our board, we've long advocated for more foot patrol. I think a lot of us feel that would really be a big deal, and I think we also want to see more cameras. And I know that we were told there was going to be some more cameras. I haven't heard the latest. Perhaps the officer might be able to update us on where we are in terms of getting more cameras. But in general, I do agree. I mean, I know they had that conference, and certainly the officials are taking the problem seriously. I think there's no question about that. And so I think at least we are moving in the right direction.
Well, Chief, do you want to respond
yes,
to that?
Yes. With the cameras, we are. Well, we have a committee within the mayor's cabinet. We're working with the Department of Facilities Maintenance, the information technology people. We're actually doing a walkthrough in Waikiki next week to look at the physical layout, where we want the cameras, where we need the cameras. We're going to add those cameras in. We're looking at the foot patrol officers as well. And there's a lot of things going on I can't get into behind the scenes that we're actually working on to improve all these areas.
Okay, and I have to ask, well, we have the cameras in place. Are they all working?
The ones that we have in place are all working.
Okay.
Yes, and we've actually looked at several of the problem areas as well. And I know in some of the areas the issue was location, and we've gotten private property owners express their willingness to have the cameras located on their property.
Okay, and if you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about Waikiki, and we'd like to know what's on your mind. You can call at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands, and you can join the conversation on Waikiki. Going back to the walls, concern about, you know, it being a magnet. A lot of times I have seen some of those mobile vendors kind of parked around those areas, and I know there's legislation that's going through the city council right now to deal with the hawkers.
Correct. We requested, and our city council member Trevor Ozawa submitted a bill to prohibit those mobile kiosks, we call them in Waikiki. And that bill passed a second reading and was up for third reading. We're currently working on some issues that came up at the last minute over maybe the wording of how it's going to be enforced. So we're currently under discussion to determine whether we need to send it back to committee for some minor modifications to the enforcement provision. But we expect that bill to pass shortly.
We did kind of go through this when we had the T-shirt vendors, the Hare Krishnas, that whole First Amendment thing, and a lot of those hawkers. And at the time, I think the city put up those the racks. And that was a way to be able to manage it. And we were able to deal with the First Amendment, without much legal hassle, I would say. But it just seems like, okay, then, you know, a few years go by and we have a new twist, and now we've got these mobile kiosks.
I think so. And one of the concerns, our major concern, and I think it gets lost because Waikiki sidewalks are really different than most places in the state. They're by far the busiest. And so if we allow these obstructions to be set up on our sidewalks, then it definitely affects the ability of our residents and visitors to walk on the sidewalks. They have to go around these things. I've seen people have to go into the street to get around them. We've seen wheelchair people have to ask them to move to get around them. And so, and those are the kinds of issues that create safety and accessibility problems that we don't think that our residents or visitors should have in Waikiki.
Well, there's a criminal aspect to it. Also, a lot of complaints are generated from these mobile kiosks. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They sell a round-trip ticket, but they're only there for half the way. They sell different options for vacations, and they're not there to support it. So we get some of the complaints right away, some after the fact, but they're the source of a lot of complaints for us.
They're not supposed to be selling anything. Vending itself is illegal. They get around that part of the law by saying they're only promoting or advertising their products. But in fact of the matter is, often they get detected going beyond that.
Right. And I know it's really unfair to the businesses, the brick and mortar shops that pay rent and follow all the rules. And then these guys just come in and set up shop and are, you know, like I said, here, there, gone tomorrow, but they just move around to a different corner. We do have a caller on the line, John from Waikiki. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Why are souped up cars and motorcycles allowed to blast to Waikiki and the Alawai at all hours of the day and night, waking up thousands of visitors and residents.
You know, I'm going to give up my age. I started as a foot patrol officer in the 1970s in Waikiki, and that problem existed then. It still exists today. We have to catch the offenders in the act. We're not always there when they're doing it. In fact, I don't think anybody can say you see a police officer next to one of these loud cars or motorcycles. We sometimes actually, when we can, we devote officers or personnel just to look for these people. And we've had some success, but, you know, there's more of them than there are of us, and they continue to just disregard the law.
I recall a time when we had a lot of the lowriders that would come and drive through Alawana Beach Park. And I can see if that was happening in Waikiki, that would be a cause for some concern.
Yeah, we've actually got consistent complaints at certain times, at certain places. So we'll put people there. It'll solve the problem in the short run. We have to move the officers somewhere else. The problem comes back. So it's one of those where we're just battling constantly and, like I said, for the last 40 years.
Right. It's irritating because I lived on a street where we would have all the moped riders, and they'd be just gunning, you know, on the way out to East Honolulu. And it's annoying as heck.
I live on the windward side and still get it.
You know, I think this caller, though, brings something, I think, out a very important point. And that is that when you have something like this happens, it helps if you call HPD and make a complaint. Because Deputy Chief said, it's these complaints that allow them to pinpoint problem areas and therefore apply resources. And so I think a lot of people feel like, oh, gee, I don't want to complain, you know, because I've already complained once. When it occurs, register a complaint, because it's those complaints that allow the HPD to follow up on the problems and other government agencies based on the issues. To a degree, I mean, it may sound reactionary, but government has to be that way, complaint driven, and so because that's how we find out about these issues. And so I tell my commercial members this all the time: when you have a problem, let us know about it, let HPD know about it, and every time there's an issue, register your complaint.
I know.
I think it's interesting to hear what the officer is saying, and I think that's encouraging, because I mean, I've been on the board for probably at least 15 years, and I think we still get the same complaints now that we got from the time I first got on the board, and we get more and more of these complaints, I think a lot of people feel that they don't bother complaining because the police are not going to do anything about it. And in particular, because it is true that if they didn't see it, that it's hard for them to know who it is, all the more reason why people don't bother making the complaints. And then I know we had a fairly contentious issue discussion with one of the officers at our meeting a few months ago, because he basically told us that it's just low priority for the police, which it probably is, but if it's low priority and then I think that too sort of lowers the reason for people to file complaints. So hearing what the officer is saying today is somewhat encouraging to me.
Well, you know what's funny? Playing off of what Rick just said, you got to report it, because you might call me, and the more description, the more information you provide, the better. Mm-hmm. I might miss the car where you're calling, but I might be down at the other end of Waikiki and see them. I heard the report come over the radio. I can take some sort of action. If you don't call and, you know, you just stay home and complain about it, tell your friends and neighbors, I don't know.
Right. I think that's a good point.
It works out like that.
I remember spending a night in Waikiki property at a hotel and, you know, paid pretty good money. And I had a hard time sleeping because it was so noisy.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's not just residents, but it's experience for the visitors as well.
Yes.
I know one of the issues has been the homeless. There are folks who are complaining about them congregating in the area, the pavilions, I guess, along the shoreline there at Kohio and maybe Kapi'olani Park as well. We have made some strides, and the city has put in concessionaires, and I think that's helped in that area. Can you share any ideas on how we're dealing with that?
We've... WIA and the Waikiki Business Improvement District Association, we're in discussions with the city on, and we've actually talked about it before, and our original initiatives kind of didn't get followed up on because of issues regarding cost and the like. But we're now looking at the potential of putting these pavilions to a beach user related type of activity that would therefore, you know, it's sort of normal. I mean, if you leave someplace open these days, it's an attractive spot. It's gonna could possibly attract the wrong elements. So we want to put it to a positive activity, and so I can't go into any of the details because we're not there yet. But we're actively working on uses for these pavilions that I think will address that issue.
Right. I know we do have, you know, a lot of folks that go down there and play cards or play board games, you know, because it's a nice little spot.
Not as much as, I mean, frankly, what you pointed out, the issue of people occupying them all day long has tended to put an end to. There's very little of that old activity that we loved so much there at Kuhio Beach.
Sure, less and less of it.
You know, what I really want to say is homelessness is not a criminal problem. It's not a police problem. But we're at the forefront. When you see a homeless person, you're going to call us. Not who else can you call? What we're trying to do is, of course, we enforce the laws when it comes to the homeless. If they violate the laws, we treat them like anybody else. They have the same rights and entitlements as everyone. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring together the social services, the needs of these people. We have a current project called Project Help Honolulu, where we bring out social workers, we bring out medical people to tend to these people, and we try to work with them to get them off the streets into facilities where they can become productive citizens again with a residence. So that program started in the Chinatown area. We recently opened up an office there where they provide medical treatment, and we're moving that project into Waikiki, hopefully with the same results.
And Louis, from your perspective, I mean, do you think that the homeless situation has improved?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I sort of go back and forth. There are days I do think they're making progress, and then there's days when I think, oh my, it's still the same. I think, I mean, certainly in terms of what the speakers have been saying, I mean, I applaud both of them. I think the police have generally really handled the situation well in terms of understanding that it's not a crime to be homeless, and I think typically the police have been pretty compassionate in terms of dealing with them. And I think the WIA has really stepped up. I think the business community in Waikiki recognizes that it's as much of a problem for business as it is for residents. My own theory has always been that because the climate is so nice here, I think this is a problem that is not going to necessarily go away. And I think that's the discouraging part, that we can, and I know the legislature has been debating whether they should pursue things like housing first or whether they should perhaps have Ohana zones. And I think any or all of those things are definitely good ideas. The concern that I have is that even if we went and housed all the people that we were currently working with, that we may very well see an influx of new people coming here, because if you are going to be homeless, this is probably a pretty good place to be relative to the rest of the United States. And so it's a very discouraging problem that may or may not really get any better. But I think the folks that are on the show today and others have been doing about the best that they can and the best that can be done.
You forgot one thing. It's nice weather and nice people.
Nice weather and nice people, right. I mean, I grew up in New York City as a kid, so, I mean, the people aren't so nice there. And also, it's cold. So I remember watching, you know, walking the streets and watching homeless people trying to keep warm, hanging over these manhole covers, you know, with steam coming out. And so you don't have that problem here. And so I think that I think those factors make it a little more conducive, so to speak, to being homeless. But I mean, I do think people are doing what they can, but it's a huge problem, obviously.
And that factor is, I think, one of the reasons we have to be rigorously enforce the law, and I think that is something that we always request of HPD, and I think they do a good job of that. And they're I've watched the HPD officers, and I think they go above and beyond in terms of being compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a police officer go into a store. I forget which store it was. I won't advertise for anybody, but buy a pair of shorts for a homeless person who was obviously had mental difficulties and was indecently attired just because he wasn't all there and wasn't capable of taking care of him. A police officer went in and spent his own money to put clothes on the back of this homeless person. I saw that with my own two eyes. That's not a story.
Right. And I had an experience where I'd interviewed a family whose a loved one got on a plane. A young man had some mental delays, but he came in to Hawaii. They found out because they were tracking his phone, and they saw it, like, over the Pacific Ocean. Another instance where the police officers went above and beyond, they were able to track this young man down. They actually got him, I think, a shirt and drove him to the airport so his family could meet him on the other end.
But that having been said, I think that the only answer to this issue is that we have to rigorously enforce all our laws protecting the public space and make sure that even though it may not, you know, we often get accused of not being compassionate because, for example, we championed the sit-lie law that made it illegal to sit or lie down on the sidewalks in Waikiki. And that made a big difference. We had problems all over the sidewalks in Waikiki that are not there today because of that law. And certainly HPD was our partner in that. The mayor, Mayor Caldwell, that was one of his initiatives. And then at the same time passed a law. You shouldn't need such a law, but it was to make it illegal to urinate and defecate in public. And so I think that the bottom line is because we have paradise for not just for all the rest of us, but for homeless people, we have to make sure that the laws governing the way we keep our public spaces available to all the public for their intended uses are rigorously enforced. And that's just something we have to do.
Talking about enforcement, we have another caller on the line, Paul from Hilo. You have a question?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to state that, you know, the noise pollution with the motorcycles and the cars and stuff, it happens here in Hilo, too. I mean, you know, I live in Paradise Park, and there's a motorcycle that, you know, jets out of some street a few streets away that's loud, and it wakes me up, you know. I mean, but if somebody wanted to do something about it, what needs to be done is legislate a muffler or a quiet law or something like that where safety inspections can be given to these motorcycles and these cars. And if they hit a certain decibel level, you know, they don't get their safety inspection. I mean, you know, having police officers chase these people around on the streets, that's nonsense. That's just taking time away from what they're supposed to be doing with major crimes. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay, thanks, Paul. We have another caller on the line, Jeff from downtown Honolulu. We understand you're a former New York police officer. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm calling. I'm a resident of both New York City and Hawaii. I've lived in Hawaii most of my adult life. I've also been a police officer in New York City. I hear a lot of talking about this problem about motorcycle and moped noise, and we must respect rights, et cetera. And I certainly agree with all that. It's pretty easy. You post a uniformed officer at one end of Kalakaua, where there's no place for anybody to turn off, and he has a device that measures the sound. If someone is making too much sound, he radios ahead to another officer who pulls over that particular vehicle, issues tickets accordingly. And I guarantee you, if we charge those people with the same amount of money that we charge some poor homeless man for jaywalking, The word will get out to cyclists and motorcyclists very fast to cut the noise. It's just like crime. It's never going to go away. All we can hope to do is control it. I came back to Hawaii after a lengthy medical problem in New York City, and I thought, you know, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. We are shooting ourselves in the foot because this is one of the noisiest places on the planet. It shouldn't be. It's you know, this is the serene capital of the world, but not if you live anywhere near Waikiki or H1 or any thoroughfare.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thank you for that thought. Chief McCarthy, so how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, we do that periodically. When we have extra manpower, we'll place people on the Alawai, on Kalakaua. But again, it all goes back to the public telling us when this is happening, where it's happening, and then we can adjust to try and treat the problem.
Well, we're talking about vehicles. I know one thing that's come up this week is this whole issue of undocked bikes or scooters. We talked with the Bicycling League, Chad Taniguchi, on Sunday, and this was a concern that he raised. And, you know, we've seen how we've had to deal with different vehicles, modes of transportation. We dealt with the pedicabs. It took the city council, instituting a ban on certain main thoroughfares. But these undocked bicycles or electric scooters are kind of scary when you see the stories that are running either in China or in San Francisco, in big cities across the country. So how are we preparing for that if that comes here?
You know, I can talk a little bit about that, but before we leave the topic of noise, can I just make another couple of comments, Catherine? Number one, the city administration has been moving forward with the idea of trying to convert most of the buses that will be in the future coming into Waikiki to be electric buses. Really, up until recently, the technology has not been there. When I say recently, over the last, I think, say 3 to 5 years. Prior to that, electric buses really weren't very practical. But now we're starting to see commercial models of electric buses that make sense and hybrid buses that make sense. And the city is starting to deploy those. And I think suspicion that we'll be able to, well, the plan is to move more towards that in the future. And then I am also hopeful we have our Waikiki Transportation Management Association. We've been talking to the commercial bus operators as something that we're looking towards the future as well. I think if we can move towards more electric vehicles, that's going to have a huge impact on the noise issue. The other piece of this was one of the other chronic complaints, and Lou, I'm sure you'll verify this point, and that is the backup beepers. And so we've now gone down to the point where we're trying to encourage those with the backup beepers to convert from the beep, beep, beep to the scratchy noise backup beepers. We always thought that it was required that they have these backup beepers, but come to find out, although the vehicles are required to have them, they're not required to use them. But for insurance purposes, many of the companies still continue to use them. So we're looking now at seeing if we can't get more companies to convert to the less offensive backup beepers, which is, I think, would be also a major plus.
We can only hope, yes.
But to go to your point, we are concerned about the dockless scooters and bicycles. Been reading some of the articles about it, and other they've started to show up. But and we've actually had the first one deployed in Waikiki, and they've become a problem in some of the other areas. And the whole theory behind them is that they're going to be picked up because there's a device on them that, you know, the GPS device, so that the owners can pick them up after they've been left behind. But I know that this is, like in San Francisco, this has become an issue where the city is quite concerned because these bicycles or scooters, some of them, they're motorized scooters, are being left everywhere. And so I am worried about its impact on Waikiki. We haven't seen it yet, but it is coming.
Right. I mean, I don't know what movement there is on actually either crafting legislation or figuring out where the boundaries are with the PUC and the city. And just like we saw with Uber and Lyft and the whole taxi issue where this was punted back and forth between the state and the city on, you know, well, there are taxis or, you know, they're your problem. And so we see it coming. We
did have a meeting yesterday. The mayor called for a meeting. The Department of Transportation Services was there, Facilities Management, some others. We are looking at it. The City Council already has some legislation crafted that will be moving forward. So we're already looking at it from that standpoint. I can tell you the police department, we know about the one that's been deployed. We're going to be monitoring. The problem is scooters are not regulated. They're not bicycles. They don't have to be licensed. They don't follow necessarily the same laws or fall into those categories. So there are laws that will apply, especially with the sidewalks, obstruction, things like that. So we're going to be monitoring it to make sure, hopefully, we can catch it really early.
I know our partners at Civil Beat did something on the Lime bikes, and I'm guessing this one bike is maybe them?
Yes.
It's a Lime bike, yes.
And so we should expect to see some bill introduced at the City Council on this?
From what I understand, there is one already that was introduced, and there may be more legislation. They're looking at it. The people that are responsible are researching the problem, trying to craft something that's legally sound.
Yeah, the Bicycling League, I know, said that they were concerned because Beaky Bikes has just launched this bike-sharing program, and they're wondering how that's going to be affected because they have docking stations you know, all over downtown and Chinatown and Waikiki. And there's a lot of pushback about that because they took up parking spaces. But, yeah, we've got to, like, stay on top of it just to make sure we don't deal with the problem.
All these things are a big source of complaints, especially for us. So we've got to follow the law and administer the law that way. But I know they're working on it, and I would expect to see something come out soon.
Since we're mentioning parking spaces, Rick, maybe you can give us an update on where the parking authority is at, because it's been about 6 months since the bill was passed.
Yes, we're continuing to work with DTS on developing the, you know, they always say the devil's in the details. So we're still working with the Department of Transportation Services at the city to develop our program for both the commercial loading and unloading and for the off-street parking, the currently unmetered off-street parking. We already found that just putting meters everywhere is not the answer. I mean, some of the areas where the city put their meters in used to be those areas were used for parking. Now you see them empty during the time that the meters are active because, you know, people who were using them before, maybe they were employees, for example, and they can't afford to go out and feed meters during the course of the day. They're working. And so what we're hoping for is to be able to put a more dynamic system in place that will only charge during certain hours or charge less during certain hours, or that will allow for that longer period of time if you're using it, for example, for employment, or in areas where we think we want to instead encourage turnover, you might have be able to more effectively enforce limited time.
And share with our listeners who's on this authority.
Well, it's not an authority, first of all.
Okay.
It's a Waikiki Transportation Management Association, an authority. And the reason I'm so adamant about that, the authority still lies with the city. They have the authority. The Department of Transportation Services, if it requires ordinance change, the City Council, they're still in charge. What we're hoping to do is with this organization, this association, which is kind of a hybrid. It consists of the transportation providers. It consists of the Hawaii Transportation Association, the Waikiki Neighborhood Board, the Waikiki Improvement Association, and the city, the Department of Transportation Services. HPD has a non-voting seat on that association. The idea is to be able to more intensely plan what needs to be done in Waikiki because our demands are greater than most other places.
Right, and I've seen in areas where there are loading zones or permitted areas where commercial vehicles can stop, that there's some abuse in those areas as well, where somebody's just parked there all day, even though they're not really just dropping off and picking up.
Absolutely, and one of the ways that we hope to do this is to we're going to institute with the city a additional charge for a permit to load and unload in Waikiki, and those additional funds would then be used to help create more legal areas to load and unload, but also to have HPD special duty officers enforce those laws and very specifically. So because, as you point out, the people who are trying to play by the rules, they're the ones who get crowded out by the people who are abusing the situation. And so that requires additional enforcement. And as a previous caller pointed out, I mean, HPD can't spend all their time managing our loading and unloading areas. So what we're looking at doing is, at least at the start, using special duty police officers, and maybe in the future you'd have people who are specially trained for that who would be able to act in their stead. But certainly, I think to start off with, we would want to use, and we've been working with HPD Special Duty on doing being able to do this, basically traffic management.
And Lou, I know parking is a concern for residents, and we've seen some of the neighborhoods experiment with the parking permits. What's the residents' point of view on this?
Well, of course, I happen to be one of the residents that doesn't own a car. In the 27 years I've lived here, I've always lived in Waikiki, so I don't even own a car. So it's less of an issue for me personally. But yes, I mean, residents are always concerned about parking. Residents prefer free parking, obviously, but realistically, I don't think anybody can argue that there's any kind of a absolute right to have free parking. You know, a lot of times when projects come in or some proposals come to the neighborhood board, the issue that some people raise is, well, what is the impact going to be on parking? Is this going to take away parking? There's no doubt that more parking has been eroded, and it is a problem. I agree that if you can have like a decal or a sticker for certain neighborhoods, and that probably would help to some extent. I think that would be a good idea. By the way, while I'm speaking, I was going to just address a couple of things that, in terms of the neighborhood board and some of the issues that we've discussed. We were very supportive of the effort to try to get rid of those mobile kiosks, and we've also been very supportive of the transportation management entity that Rick talked about. The board unanimously supported that. And the other thing on the mufflers, I know that I think a couple of years ago the legislature did require mopeds to register. I think that was back in 2016.
Years ago.
And just yesterday, I think there was a bill that passed the legislature, Senate Bill 2854, that provides a fine for failure to do that. So I think the hope is that there might be a little greater, that'll put a little more teeth into the law, because the law previously required that they register, and so part of the registration, I think, would be a safety check. And so this will now provide a penalty for failure to register. So hopefully, little by little, we're making some impact on all these issues.
If you're just joining us, our guests have been Lou Erdershek of the Waikiki Neighborhood Board, who just spoke, Rick Egged from the Waikiki Improvement Association, and HPD's Deputy Chief John McCarthy. On this issue of parking and parking permits, I know I lived in San Francisco for a time, and we had special permits, but we weren't allowed to park it in one spot for more than 3 days. You know, so if you were going to go out of town, you had to put your car in a parking garage. So that just didn't give you carte blanche to just park as long as you want. Any thoughts about that?
Again, we're still developing how this program will work, and but absolutely, the idea is not to allow. I mean, actually, we already have a law in the books. You're not allowed to stay in the same place for 24 hours,
mm-hmm. Right?
Right, but enforcement. I'm sure you get lots of parking complaints.
A lot. Waikiki gets a lot, yeah. But the abandoned vehicle, and that's been a problem island-wide. So, I mean, even in Waikiki, it's just as exhausting. We are looking at Chief Ballard started using the parking enforcement people not only to issue tickets at metered parking, but to respond to parking complaints. We started a pilot project last month in downtown Honolulu. If that's successful, we'll open it up to other areas that are prone to these type of complaints.
So what does that do exactly?
The parking enforcement, they're not police officers. Their sole function was to take care of the metered parking. And she started to use them to respond to parking complaints other than metered parking, whether it's a car blocking a driveway or an abandoned vehicle. We're monitoring. We started the program last month. We're monitoring it now. If it works out well, we may expand it to other areas.
So that's a way to be able to fill a gap that maybe your officers...
Yeah, you think about it. You know, do you want... I mean, they're lesser paid, but do you want the expensive police officer issuing, you know, minor parking tags or someone else who's trained to do it and has that authority? It makes more sense. We're getting more bang for our buck.
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. So you support that, Lou?
I would support that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Rather than having, more experienced, highly trained police officers, if it seems to me that you could delegate some of that to people mm-hmm. who would just be responsible for parking. I think that's a darn good idea.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about Waikiki, and we'd like to know what's on your mind. You can call 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 on the neighbor islands. We do have a call. We had a call from Kailua, but I think we've dropped that call. Anything else that you think is top of mind as we now move into the summer? Chief, you had mentioned that there's... a trend, it gets busier sometime with certain kinds of traffic.
It always gets busier during the summer. And this year we have RIMPAC, so we're working with our military counterparts. Sky's the limit. We're trying to really work and reach out with other people. So we're working with them. I know the District 6 Command has met with them once. They've got another meeting coming up again. This past weekend, I believe, we had a part of a military fleet in town that we monitored pretty closely. What I do want to say is Waikiki is still a safe place. For residents, for tourists. We had a few glitches last year, a few events that really became of notoriety. Overall, it's very safe to walk Waikiki. I've done it, and not because I'm a policeman in uniform, but done it with, my family. And it's still overall pretty safe. Compared to other major cities, statistically speaking, we're pretty good off in Waikiki.
I know I've had an experience where my son worked down there, and when I would, give him a lift after work, and you're sitting there, in the late hours, and it's just amazing to see the folks that just spill out of the bars and the clubs at a certain time, but it closes at 2 a.m. And I know the chief had suggested maybe we need to look at the cabaret licenses, but I don't know where that's going. I think the commission is reviewing its rules. But is there anything you want to add to that, Rick?
We're currently under discussion as to what might be a good approach in this area. One of the kind of compromises that was proposed, for example, was maybe not issuing any new licenses beyond 2 a.m., and then working with the existing operators to try and improve the situation outside their premises and at those hours. So I think we're making progress there. Some of the issues, cameras, better lighting, potentially not just HPD presence, but because some of the issues have involved minors, potentially having a social worker present. So we're working on all these things at this point. Particularly with RIMPAC, we're looking at that as sort of a special event that maybe we should apply some additional attention to. And I know that it is a major concern, of course, for our military authorities as well. And so, as Lou pointed out earlier, the fact that we had some of these higher profile, actually was Chief McCarthy just before me, these high profile incidents kind of brought a lot of these issues to fore and made us certainly caught our attention, made sure we want to make sure that these issues are addressed. But overall, and it's kind of disconcerting in a way, if you will, because if you look at the overall numbers, not only is Waikiki still a safe destination, it's actually safer now than it was 20 years ago. We have a lower number of active crimes take place in Waikiki now, like dramatically less, like 40% less than we did, say, 20 years ago.
That's an important thing to underscore, the long view.
Right. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. We probably don't have time to go into all of them. But I think some of the major ones are the presence of cameras, better lighting, some changes to the laws that make it easier for HPD to enforce the law. And so all told, the fact that we continue to pay so much attention to public safety as a community has had a very positive impact.
We did talk to the military, and I know they did say that they do on occasion send out, I think, crews just to kind of walk Waikiki when they know all, folks are, you know, the ships Correct. Are in town, yeah. just to be able to say, hey, you guys need help or, you know, and they do have their list, the do not visit list, I think. But there were, I think, very few of them when I last talked to the military representative.
Yeah, I don't know if any off-limits areas in Waikiki. There was discussion, and there was a note that came out, I believe, in December, but there's nothing that's off-limits in Waikiki, and we work close with them. Again, going back historically, we had the military police actively riding with us, working with us, and we're talking about even bringing that partnership back again to some degree.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And some of the areas that were that were actually involved in our incidents last year have already closed. And there was that one block where there were several bars on Kuhio, on the corner of Kuhio and Seaside. That area has been, the owner closed down that area and is planning renovations in the future. But I think they were always planning renovations, but the issues that had come up kind of sped the closing down of the commercial activities in that area.
Yeah, and
I think that was really good because that block and some of those places were really pretty grungy, and I think that was sort of a den for some of the crime that we were seeing in terms of some of the more high profile incidents. So I think that was a very good thing that those places have closed down, and I also agree that, you know, the 4 a.m. license, let's face it, by, you know, anybody who's out at the bar by 4 in the morning, you pretty much know what kind of condition they're in, and so probably I could see where maybe if somebody has a 4 a.m. license, you might not be able to take that away from them, but the idea about not issuing new ones, I think, probably is certainly worth looking at.
Yeah, good point. Anything else you folks can share just about on the front?
I just want to say one last thing. We're the police. We're visible. We're the authority. But it's our ball game. We all have a stake in it. We need to work together, whether it's businesses, public. If we work together and we communicate, we're going to have a much better place to live.
You know, one thing I should point out is I think that there's some concern about the flotillas and that activity, and I think the lawmakers were hoping to pass something this session to help address that.
That bill failed.
It failed. Yes. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure why, because that bill, I mean, that seemed like kind of a no-brainer, and so I don't quite understand why that bill did not pass.
You and I can probably talk about that off the air.
Okay. anything else, Lou, that you would like to share, just from the perspective of residents who live down in Waikiki?
Well, I mean, some of the issues that I've been concerned about may not necessarily be police issues per se. I mean, I think that though we did touch upon a lot of them, things like traffic and noise and crime are certainly big issues. I think another big issue for me and for a lot of residents has just been what I guess I would call overdevelopment in Waikiki and over commercialization. And I think that impacts the quality of life for a lot of people. Our neighborhood board really work well with Rick and the business community. I mean, obviously, we're elected to represent the residents, but unlike some other boards on the island that don't really have as much of a business aspect to it, we try to work pretty well, I think, with the business community. But that said, I think myself and a lot of others, I think, tend to believe that the buildings are getting too tall, and every square inch is being developed, and so I think that's a general concern that people have. I know specifically now there's a lot of concerns about what's going to happen in the Alawai Boat Harbor, because I think almost everybody agrees that harbor, which ought to be a beautiful showpiece, is basically looks like a mismanaged sewer, and there's a lot of concern about what's going to happen down there, we were hoping to get some information from DONR about just what their plans are. It's not clear if they know what their plans are or if they're going to come and speak to the neighborhood board, but a lot of residents are concerned about whether there might be more towers going up in there.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen, but Well, there's a lot of uncertainty about the future of the harbor, and so that's kind of a big issue nowadays that we're dealing
yeah,
with.
Yeah, Lou, we appreciate that. That's going to be a topic for another show, okay? All right. We would like to thank our guests, Lou Artishek of the Waikiki Neighborhood Board, HPD Deputy Police Chief John McCarthy, and Rick Eggett of the Waikiki Improvement Association. And we thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. We'll be right back after a short break. This is The Conversation.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Achieve 3000, providing a new Read, Discuss, Read instructional model built in partnership with Dr. Doug Fisher with the goal of improving student reading achievement. Achieve3000.com/Hawaii.
Universities with big endowments spend millions on splashy projects.
They can go around and write a check for $215 million without blinking an eye.
So why are they asking students to pay more?
It's like my dad was like, is there any way you can do it in 3.5 semesters?
We pry open the black box of college endowments on the next Reveal.
This evening at 7. Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Manoa Valley Theater, presenting Sheer Madness, a comic murder mystery solved with audience participation. Opening Thursday, ManoaValleyTheater.com.
That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow to mark the closure of the 2018 legislative session. And if your call didn't make it on air during today's discussion, you can still contact the talkback line. Leave your comments. That number is 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show or any other one, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.